Good morning. Good to see everyone. We're glad that you're here. And let's begin our worship this morning with our gathering hymn, number 455, Here at Your Table, Lord, as we sing the first stanza together. And you may be seated. The Lord be with you. And welcome as we gather to worship God here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church this morning. We're so glad that you're here and glad to have guests in our service. Thank you for your presence with us. And we pray God's blessings on you as you worship with us. If you're a first-time guest or you haven't done this before, if you could complete one of the visitor's cards in the pew rack and then drop that into the offering plate when it's passed, that'll help us to know how to get in contact with you if you'd like for us to. Also, those joining us on the radio or by internet, we're glad that you're part of our worship today and pray it will be a blessing to you. And we invite you to come worship with us in person anytime here at Murfreesboro Baptist Church. We'd love to have you. And if you're looking for a church home, we'd love to have you. Let me mention several things very quickly. Our youth group will meet this evening at 5:30, and then deacons will meet at 6 o'clock Tuesday evening. Wednesday evening activities this week, kids club at 6, choir practice at 6, and our prayer and Bible study at 7 o'clock. And we're going to be beginning a new study in the Psalms this week, so I hope that you'll be able to join us for that. Now, other things that are going on, of course, we're in the process of doing a new church directory, and you can sign up online. The instructions are in the bulletin if you haven't already signed up for your photography on October 21st. Or you can see Del Acock, and she will sign you up. And we want everyone participating in this. It's very, very important that we have this. October 13th, we'll have the Reverent Quartet with us at 5 in the evening for a concert. There'll be refreshments afterwards, and of course, we'll receive a love offering for the quartet during that time. Also, on October 20th, in conjunction with Chowon's inauguration of Dr. Rosemary Thomas as president, we will have a special worship service on Sunday morning, the 20th. She and her family and friends will be our guests in our service. We'll be honoring our historic relationship with Chowon and honoring this historic occasion, and we'll also be sharing in a fellowship lunch afterwards. There is so much going on in our world, especially with all the disaster from Hurricane Helene. And now hurricane, or almost to be Hurricane Milton, in the Gulf and headed for Florida. We need to be praying for these folks, and we also need to be putting feet to our prayers, so to speak. So we are collecting gently used clothing, new socks, work gloves, and we're going to add to that what are some urgent needs in the area where we're going to be sending our stuff, which is Marion, North Carolina, and McDowell County, east of Buncombe County, the county east of Buncombe County. And they are also asking for baby food, baby formula, baby wipes, baby shampoo, and hygiene products. And they are listing those as urgent needs. And so if you can help with that, we would appreciate it very much. We're going to be collecting items through Monday, October the 14th. And there are also other ways on the insert that's in your bulletin that tell about how you can be a part of helping with these relief efforts. So please be praying for these folks, and please help in any way that you can. We had our ministry fair last Sunday. A lot of you were not able to be here. The sign-up sheets are still on the tables in the fellowship hall. If you didn't get a chance to sign up, please go by and look at the opportunities that are there. And then on Sunday, October 27th, we'll be having our trunk or treat, and the details about that are in the bulletin this morning. Also, today's flowers are given by Lynette Bunch and her family, and we appreciate them very, very much. Today is World Communion Sunday, and so today we think about how we share in communion with Christ's church around the world. The church has so many different expressions in different areas, and even within the same countries, so many different expressions. But today, we remember how, no matter how different we may be, we are all one in Christ Jesus, one body in Him. Today, as we continue in our worship, I invite you to join me in a reading from Psalm 25, printed in our order of worship, if you'll join in on the bold print. Good and upright is the Lord, and therefore He instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right, and teaches the humble His way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep His covenant and His decrees. And let's pray together. Oh Lord, truly You are good, and You are good to us. You faithfully and gently lead us and teach us Your ways. In Your steadfast love and faithfulness, You keep Your covenant with us. Help us to keep it as well. As we worship with You together now, may we sense Your presence among us in a mighty way. May we sense our fellowship with Your church throughout the world and in heaven in a very powerful way today as well. And may Your name be honored and glorified among us today, Lord. May Your church be strengthened and built up in love as one body in Christ. For we pray in His name. And all God's people said, Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 52, O Worship the King, number 52. seated, and let's have children come for the children's sermon. There were also some other promises in the Old Testament, right? God made Abram a promise that he would, and then he changed his name to Abraham, that he would give him descendants as numerous as the stars, right? There was another covenant made when Noah was asked to build the ark, and they flooded the earth. You remember what God sent as his symbol then for his covenant? A rainbow. Well, there's a lot of different covenants in the Bible, a lot of promises God makes to us, and that's what we're talking about. And today, we're going to honor that by doing what we call communion. And communion is what?
It's a kind of a ceremony that we do to honor
Jesus. Right. Right. We do this ceremony, and we're asked, or we're reminded, because Pastor Mark, I'm sure, will say it, that we're reminded that when Jesus did this with his disciples, we're to do this service, this ceremony, as you call it, until he comes again, right? And today is called World Communion Sunday. It's a day where we're supposed to think about the fact that we're having communion here in Murfreesboro. People are having communion in Ahoskie, but they're also having it on the other side of the world. Everywhere does it, and they honor it especially on the first Sunday in October to remember that all of us as Christians, no matter where we are in the world, we're connected by the covenant God made to us, telling us that he would send his son to save us from our sins, right? So let's say a prayer. Dear God, we thank you for your covenants. We thank you for keeping your promises and sending your son to save us from our sins. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Our epistle lesson today comes from Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. The High Priest of a New Covenant. I read to you today from the New International Version. Now, the main point of what we are saying is this: we do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by a mere human being. Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices, and so it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already priests who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. For if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant, and I turned away from them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. By calling this covenant new, he has made the first one obsolete, and what is obsolete and outdated will soon disappear. The word of the Lord for the people of the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading today comes from Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." The word of the Lord. Praise his holy name.
Thank you. As we come now to our prayer time, there are a number of folks that we need to remember. Jane Balance is in the hospital. Of course, Colin is in rehab over at Rich Square, and Jane had to go to the hospital Friday night. She is improving, and we're grateful for that, but please remember her in your prayers. We've been asked to remember the family of Tammy Casper, who passed away, I believe, last night, and then Trish Rodriguez is in the hospital in Ahoskie. Also, we want to continue to pray for Bonnie Jenkins, Randy and Cindy Copeland, Sherry Cook, and Gary Brett. We have others that we have been remembering in an ongoing way, so please lift them up. Remember the hurricane victims, both those who are suffering from recent hurricanes, especially the situation over in the mountains, but also those who will be in the path of Milton as it becomes a hurricane. I'd also like to ask you to remember our family. My last living aunt is no longer living. She passed away early yesterday morning. She had liver cancer down at Tabor City, lived down at Tabor City. Please remember her. A big connection in the family was that I was born the day that she and her husband were married. So, and my uncle loves to tell about that. My father had a busy day that day. My grandfather was minister. He was doing the wedding, so Daddy had to leave the hospital shortly after I was born and go to the wedding to give his little sister away. So, but please pray for the family. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, and as we do, think especially about what we're celebrating and marking here on World Communion Sunday, our fellowship with Christians all over the world as one body in Christ. So let's pray together. O Lord, our God, our Heavenly Father, who's created us and redeemed us in Jesus Christ from our sin, through the new and everlasting covenant that you've made in him, we are grateful that you're always faithful to your promises. We're thankful that you have promised us salvation through your Son when we trust in him and what he's done in his life, his death on the cross and his resurrection. We thank you that we experience that salvation in an ongoing relationship with you, a journey of faith that transforms us into the likeness of Christ, rather than a one-time transaction that has no effect on what we become and how we live. We praise you, O God, for all these spiritual blessings in Christ. We thank you that you have made us part of the body of Christ, that body that that incorporates all believers of all time in heaven and on earth, all those who have put their trust in Christ and followed Him as Lord and Savior, that we are one in You. Lord, we know that the night before our Lord Jesus died, He prayed that we may all be one. May it be so, Lord. May we live out that unity that You have given to us in a way that the world will see and know that You have sent Your Son into the world, in a way that we love one another as You have loved us, and that by this all people know that we're Your disciples, that we love one another. We thank You, Father, for all the temporal blessings You bestow on us, the air we breathe, the food we eat, our family and friends and family of faith. And Father, just as Your word teaches us to do, we come before You with our thanksgivings and with our prayers and petitions for our needs and for the needs of others. For we know from Your word that You hear and answer our prayers when we pray according to Your will. And so, Lord, we lift our prayers and petitions to You now for those who are suffering in the devastation brought by Hurricane Helene, and for those in the path of Hurricane Milton. Lord, when we see the pictures and the video, our hearts are broken for what these folks are going through. And we ask that You would minister to their needs, and that You will help us as Your people to embody the presence of Christ to those who are suffering through our deeds of love and mercy. Lord, we pray for those suffering from other natural and human-made disasters at home and abroad, because there have been so many weather disasters, so many earthquakes and wildfires, and Lord, the wars that are going on, and the mass shootings that take place. Father, our world needs You, and we do pray that You will work and intervene according to Your will, and that You will work Your purpose in each of these situations. Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters in other lands who are persecuted and oppressed because of their faith. We pray for our country. We thank You for our freedoms. And we pray, Lord, for our country and our state and our town and our civil leaders, asking Your wisdom for them. We pray, Father, for Your will and Your wisdom in the upcoming election. We pray, Father, for those who are sick or injured, those that are on our list that we have read this morning, those who were on our hearts and minds that we've not spoken their names aloud, that You will help them in their time of need. And Father, for those who grieve, we continue to pray for Your comfort for them. Lord, we pray for our schools, for our students and faculty and staff and administrators and their families, our schools at all levels, Lord. We especially pray for Chowan University and for the leadership and the students and the faculty and staff there, and ask Your blessings on them. Lord, we wrap it all up by saying we pray for the work of Your kingdom in the world and for Your church throughout the world and Your church here in Murfreesboro. We ask that You would use us to further the purposes of Your kingdom, to touch hearts and lives through words of wisdom, through deeds of love, and through words of witness, that they might come to know You and love You and serve You in the company of Your church. So we gather our prayers now. We lift them to You, confident that You'll answer them in accordance with Your will and purpose, because we offer them in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Your Son, who lives and reigns together with You and the Holy Spirit as one God, now and forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Our hymn of thanksgiving is number 466, Jesus at Your Holy Table, number 466.
Jesus at Your Holy Table, may
thank you, Father, for the blessings of life and love, and we remember those who've lost so much in the storms. As we present our offerings to you now, may we give generously and with glad hearts. May our gifts reflect our commitment and desire to love God, follow Jesus, and serve others. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our text this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Thank you, O Lord, for your word in Scripture. As we look into it now and meditate on it, speak to our hearts. Help us, O Lord, to understand more fully what it means to be part of your new covenant. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A promise is a powerful thing, isn't it? A powerful thing. When it's kept, it builds trust. When it's broken, it can be painful and harmful to a relationship. Indeed, a promise is a powerful thing, and especially when it's made in the form of a covenant. And throughout the Bible, we see God making covenants. Covenants with people, sometimes with individuals like Abraham and David, sometimes with a family or a group or a nation. And when God makes promises, when he makes covenants, he declares what he expects from the person that he's making the covenant with. And he makes promises to them about what he will do. No two ways about it. Our God is a covenant-making God. Now, Sarah in the children's sermon pointed out some of the covenants that God has made in the past after the great flood in Genesis chapter 6 through 9. He made the covenant with Noah that he would never destroy the earth completely by a flood again. And he set the rainbow in the sky as a reminder of that covenant. He made his covenant with Abram when he called him to follow him. And he promised to make his descendants a great nation who would know and serve the Lord, even when Abraham, as he became, and Sarah had no children. And as we saw a few weeks ago, he was 75 when God made that promise, and she was 65 when God made that promise. And it was 25 years before he fulfilled that promise and gave them a son whom they named Isaac. That means he laughs. Because God was laughing and they were laughing with him because he was fulfilling the covenant. God's promise was inherited by Isaac and then by his son Jacob, the younger of his twin sons. And then Jacob's 12 sons became the patriarchs of the people of Israel, and the covenant was with them. Jacob and his sons and their families ended up in Egypt because of the severe famine. It was intended to be temporary. Joseph brought the family there to take care of them during the famine, but they stayed there. And before long, those 70 guests that had gone to Egypt started becoming a great people. And they were multiplying so fast that later on, the Pharaoh, who didn't remember Joseph and didn't know Joseph, he saw them as a threat, and so he enslaved them and made them forced labor to build his great cities. But the Lord heard their cries for help, and he sent his servant Moses to deliver them. You remember the story from the 3rd through the 15th chapters of Exodus? Moses reluctantly went to Pharaoh and gave him the Lord's message, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh refused time and time and time again. And God sent 10 plagues on Egypt. The Nile River was turned into blood, and then there was a population explosion among the frogs, and then there was a plague of gnats, and then a plague of flies, and then there was a plague among the livestock, followed by a plague of boils on the people, followed by an incredible hailstorm, and then there was a plague of locusts, and after that, a thick, heavy darkness that could be felt. Nine of those plagues. And each time Pharaoh would say, "All right, I'm going to let them go," and then he'd change his mind until the tenth plague, when the Lord sent the death angel to take the firstborn in every house that didn't have the blood of a Passover lamb on the doorpost and the lintel of the house. Only after this final plague had cost Pharaoh his firstborn son would he let the Israelites go. And then even after that, after they were gone, he followed them only to drown in the sea after the Israelites had passed through the sea on dry ground. That was the formative experience for the Israelites. The Exodus is God rescued them and delivered them from their slavery in Egypt. And then he led them to Mount Sinai. And there he made his covenant with them. He would be their God. They would be his people. And as his people, the law that he gave to them on tablets of stone, later written on a scroll, that law showed them how they were to live as the people of God. But there was a problem. Sometimes the people were faithful in keeping the covenant. More often, though, they weren't. Somehow, this law, these covenant terms inscribed on two stone tablets and written on a scroll, it just didn't seem to be that important to them. Over and over, they'd be unfaithful. And then God would allow them to be harassed or even subjected by other nations as a corrective punishment to turn them back to Him. And then when they would repent, He would restore them and deliver them. But before long, the cycle would go again. This cycle of falling away, being punished, repenting, being delivered and restored, only to fall again. It seemed to become endless, happening over and over and over and over. And in time, this unfaithfulness led to the division of Israel into two kingdoms. Things got so bad in the northern kingdom that God allowed the Assyrian army to destroy the capital city of Samaria and to deport many of the people to other countries. That happened around 721 BC. And the only reason the southern kingdom of Judah held on as long as it did was because of the Lord's promise to David that he would always have an heir sitting on his throne. But even so, it finally got so bad with them that God allowed the Babylonians to capture Jerusalem in 598 BC and then to destroy it completely in 587 BC, taking the best and the brightest of them into exile in Babylon. It was in the midst of this sad state of affairs in Babylon that God gave His promise of a new covenant through Jeremiah the prophet. He was still in Judah at the time, but it was a word to God's people in Judah and in Babylon. When you look at what was promised here in Jeremiah 31, it's amazing. God said He would make a new covenant, and that it would not only be with the house of Judah, but also with the house of Israel. He was going to restore all of His people. He wouldn't write off either one. It would be different from the first covenant that He had made with them, the covenant that they never really kept, because rather than writing His law on stone tablets or on a scroll, He would write it in their hearts and on their minds. And He would be their God, and they would be His people. And they wouldn't have to teach each other to know the Lord, because everyone would know him and he would forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. What a covenant! It's God's promise. It includes everyone. It's relational. It's gracious. It's both communal and corporate, but it's also personal, and it's new. New. The night before he died on the cross, Jesus gathered his disciples for the Passover meal, one that he had eagerly desired to share with them. He knew it would be his last before his crucifixion and resurrection, and he knew that it would be through his life, his faithful sacrificial death, and his resurrection that God would bring about this new covenant. And during the supper, Jesus took the bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then in the same way, at the end of the supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup that's poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." You see, through his prophet Jeremiah, God had promised to make a new covenant with his people, and now in Jesus, it has become reality. The promise has been fulfilled. God redeems us through the new covenant that he has made through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so, here we are today in this beautiful sanctuary, gathered around the Lord's table to share in the sign of the new covenant. In this simple meal, we don't just eat a piece of bread and drink the fruit of the vine. While the bread is still bread and the grape juice is still grape juice, something mystical is going on. Because as we eat the bread and we drink the cup in faith, in a way that can only be described as mystery, we genuinely partake by faith of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, feeding on him as we relive our redemption and we celebrate and renew God's new covenant that he's made with us in Christ. Here we experience the living Lord Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus, as he makes himself present to us at this table in the bread and the wine. And we participate in the reality of what he's done for us in his life, his death on the cross and his resurrection. We experience his redeeming work afresh. And God's new covenant is made real to us all over again. God's story becomes our story. We learn anew all over again that he is our God and we are his people, called to live in covenant with him through our Lord Jesus Christ and his redeeming grace as a part of his church, gathered from all over the world through all the ages. And for all this, we say thanks be to God. Thank you, Lord, that you've made us one in Christ. Thank you that you've made a new covenant with us. Thank you, Father, that you have made us your children, your family. As we come to your table now, Lord, bless us. Make your presence known to us. May we experience your redeeming grace in a powerful, powerful way as we share again in your new covenant. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Lord Jesus has given us this simple meal to remember Him, to experience His presence as the living Lord, to celebrate our unity in Him, to remember what He's done for us through His life, His death, and His resurrection. All those who are believers in our Lord Jesus Christ who've experienced Christian baptism in any form are welcome at this table to partake, and to share, and to feed on Christ as a part of His church. On this World Communion Sunday, I think it's appropriate that we share in that confession of faith that has bound the church together through the years. What we commonly know as the Nicene Creed comes from the 4th century. And I know as Baptists, we historically have been a little bit hesitant about creeds when they're used as weapons to keep people in line. But when they're used as expressions of faith and expressions of our unity in Christ, they're a wonderful thing. And this is the one that most other churches, denominations, use along with communion. And so in recognition of World Communion Day, I think it's appropriate that we use this one of the two ancient creeds, the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. If you'd take your insert and follow along and read in unison, please. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the age to come. Amen. Let's join together in a prayer of thanksgiving, and we'll close by praying the Lord's Prayer together. Oh Lord, our God, how grateful we are for who You are and for all that You have done down through the ages to bring about Your redemptive purpose in Christ. We thank You, Lord, for those promises of old that we find in the Old Testament to Your people there. And we thank You for sending Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, Your only begotten Son, to save us, to make us one in Him, to redeem us as Your people, that You might have a people in this world who show what it means to love You, to serve as a light to the nations so others may come to know You. We thank You, Father, for what we share in as we come to this table. And Lord, we thank You that today on this World Communion Sunday, we specially remember our unity in Christ throughout the world with our brothers and sisters, wherever they may be. Lord, we pray that as we celebrate that unity, that it might become more and more a reality in our lives and our life together. Lord, You've given it to us, so often we fail to practice it. Forgive us for that. But we thank You for it. And Lord, as we come to the table, we thank You for this supper that you have given us, this simple meal that speaks to us so powerfully of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ given for us. So bless us now as we partake, Lord. May we share in the worship that goes on in heaven as cherubim and seraphim around the throne cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come." May we share with those who've gone before us, Lord, in worshiping you. And may we share with those on earth in worshiping you as we partake now. So hear us, Lord, as we gather all our prayers and lift them in the words of that prayer that Jesus taught us, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As the scriptures tell us, the night before he died, while he was at supper with his disciples, he took the bread and he gave thanks. O Lord, for this bread that is to us the sign of the body of Christ, we thank you. As we partake of it, may we share in the mystery of partaking of the body of Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. And then he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. said, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you." Afterwards, he took the cup and he gave thanks. And so, Lord, for this fruit of the vine, which is the sign of your new covenant given to us in Jesus Christ, we give you thanks. Oh, Lord, as we partake of it, may we share in the life that he gives. Father, remind us that we're partaking of his blood in a mystical way when we partake by faith. Remind us, oh Lord, that you call us to pour out our lives for you just as he has poured out his for us. We pray in his name. Amen. And he told them, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.